Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for December 3rd, 2007, and on this episode we have an interview with Vincent Lonergan and Sean Fouch. They will be talking to Tom Williams about their starring roles in The Old Wicked Songs by Signal Ensemble. And, of course, we have Chicago's theater news for you. So get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week are two gentlemen that are starring in one of the sleeper shows in Chicago that I think is one of the best shows of the year. It's called The Old Wicked Songs, and it's by Signal Ensemble at Chopin Theater. And say hello to Vincent Lonergan.
Hello, everyone.
And say hello to Sean Fouch.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Let's start with you, Vince.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about this show.
Without giving it all away, right?
Yeah, no, don't give the key parts about, an idea so people wonder, because a lot of people don't know the show.
Well, it's a little bit unique in that it has not only two actors who exchange dialogue, but also involve themselves in a musical journey. There's piano playing and singing, and that makes it a very different kind of play for me, but it's not a musical.
It's not a musical.
It's really a drama.
Oh, it's a heavy drama, that's for sure.
Music, and I believe actually the music in the show is really like a third character.
I agree.
You know, that's the way I approached it, and that's the way the director wanted us to approach it.
And you play the...
I play a voice teacher.
But he's an Austrian, right?
Right, and he's in Austria, and he's towards the end of his career, but he is very passionate about teaching, and... I can identify with that because we're about the same age. It's 55 in the script, and I'm 57. So the age thing is really close, which was really wonderful for me, too, in this experience. But he's a quirky character.
Yeah, he sure is.
Moshkin has a lot of passion, but he can be turn quite angry quickly and very funny and giddy quickly and then turn right back again. So that was a real experience playing this role, too.
Okay, and Sean? Tell us your character.
I play Stephen Hoffman. He is a 25-year-old American piano prodigy, and he grew up in California in a very conservative family. His mother, however, is a painter, and his father is a math teacher, and he has lost his will to play piano. He stopped giving concerts a year ago, and he just can't find the passion to sit down and play anymore. So he has come all the way to Austria to study not with Moshkin, but to study with Professor Schiller, who is a piano teacher, who has told him that he can't study piano yet. He has to study piano accompaniment, and before he can even study piano accompaniment, he has to study voice.
So you're this obnoxious character who's really kind of... You're not too pleased to be in Vienna, are you?
Oh, he's called belligerent, and he's called arrogant, and I think of him as a little misunderstood.
Okay. And now you meet this quirky teacher.
Not at all what I expect to find when I come to Vienna. I was expecting to find this, fiery, passionate piano player, and I'm ended up with this... seemingly anti-Semitic, bad joke telling, fiery voice teacher, and Stephen isn't even a singer at the beginning of the play.
That's true, and you fight him all the way, But yet, you stay around because are you hoping that, or do you sense something? Because it's a gradual shift that I thought both of you guys really played well.
You know, at the beginning, I think this man is absolutely off his rocker. You know, he insults me in so many various ways in the very first scene of the play.
Yes, he does.
But there's something about the way that the truth and the honesty of what he says that keeps me coming back. He has a monologue at the end of the first scene that just nails me. Just tells Stephen exactly why he's there, seemingly out of nowhere.
All right, Vince, can you, without giving away, can you give a little sample and maybe?
At the very end of the first scene, we're not really sure Stephen's going to stay around.
Right.
And he says to Mashkin, we'll see. And then I stop him cold in his tracks, and I say that it would be unwise not to study with me, because first of all, it's going to make Herr Schiller mad, and that's not good, because he does want to work with that teacher. So that stops him in his tracks, and then I just go through point by point and say, I know what's going on with you. I know you're not an accompanist. I know what you are, but you don't play anymore. And you've went to all these teachers, and no one has rekindled this desire in you. And so you travel all the way to Austria, and here you are humbled to the fact that you're not even going to study classical piano. You have to play accompaniment. And before you can even do that, you have to sing. And so it just nails each point this early in the scene. And I think that's what makes him stay, because he sees a passion in me that he wants again.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought the way Sean played it, the nonverbal, and even a lot of your expressions, it was, you know, that space in between the words, I was buying you all the way at that.
But what's interesting,
Vince, you couldn't have been quirkier. I mean, you were a hoot.
Thank you.
I think it's two of the best performances that I've seen this year, particularly the interaction.
Thank you very much.
Of you guys, it's really spellbinding.
Well, and what's wonderful about the journey that we both take is that they both end up teaching each other.
Yes, they do.
You know, and they're both students of each other. That's something I believe very much in my own life about teaching, is that each student that comes in teaches me. And that's what's marvelous about the play, too. And, of course, the thing that does that is music. I mean, they use their music as their tool to teach one another.
Well, let's talk about the show. Let's talk about the third character. I mean, the Schumann music.
The third character is Schumann's Opus 48.
Is that what it is, Opus 40? Because it's some name in German that I can't pronounce.
The Dichterliebe, the poet's love. It's a song cycle of 16 songs by Robert Schumann, and if the listeners out there haven't heard it, I highly recommend picking up a copy of it. There are two wonderful recordings that we listened to by Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and by Fritz Wunderlich that are just amazing. While working on this play, about once a week, I would just sit down and listen to all 16 songs and read along with some of the translations from the German, and it's very moving and very well written musically and poetically. It's by poems by Heinrich Heine. And
yeah, I did some research on that, I have a friend that's going to zip a copy for me. So, I definitely. That's one of the great things about the play. Not only is this a great drama and a great, you know, older younger relationship play, and you know, so many different levels, but it gets people to appreciate classical music that isn't just a stuffy, boring. I mean, the passion in the music.
Very passionate,
yes.
Isn't it? And
yeah.
I think what's wonderful, like as a playwright myself, hearing the way that he has threaded the story of the Dichterliebe, the story of this poet who has been, you know, jilted by his lover.
Mm-hmm.
How he threads it through a story of these two men is wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant piece of writing. Yeah, I really do. And Vince, tell us now how you prepare for a role like this. Because, by the way, your accent is spot on, and it's, you know.
Well, it wasn't always. We had to work at that.
You had to work at that.
And once in a while, it still slips up. But I had spent some time in Germany.
Have
actually.
You? Okay. Yeah. Do you speak German?
I did when I was there. So speaking, it wasn't so hard. It was the accent itself because, you know, speaking German, I mean, I understand German language, but the accent, we had to pick and choose which things, and Chris helped with that. And we never did use a dialect coach. We did it on our own.
Oh, very good.
And we also did not use a outside musical person. The three of us all have trained musicians, so we had many musical discussions, the three of us, the director, Chris, and myself, and Sean. And we worked, 3 to 4 weeks before we met once a week? Before we even started rehearsals.
Rehearsal, we met a couple times a week for about a month.
For about a month. And just would read the play, sit at my piano, read through some of the music. So that kind of preparing was not so hard. Now, I'm not a trained pianist. I took a few lessons in college for my degree, from my voice.
But you're degrees. A vocal, you're a vocal
right.
coach.
But I studied voice and am a voice teacher in life. So that part of it was an easy connection for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that.
And Sean, you're not a pianist either, correct?
No, I'm not a pianist at all.
Well, what do you play?
I play saxophone.
Okay.
And my family has a recorder group every Christmas.
That's cool.
But mostly a singer. I took voice lessons from seventh grade through the end of college. And
well, I think your singing was outstanding in this show. It really
thank
was.
Thank you.
And I've heard you sing before in some of the house shows that we'll talk about later. But I'm surprised you're not out auditioning for musicals. You should.
That discussion.
Yeah. Do you think he could? I think Walter Stearns would like to hear you at Porchlight and a few of the other places.
I did a show at Emerald City with Walter. I know some people, but it's
a lot of candles to burn.
I do. I have a lot of responsibilities at another theater company.
Yes.
So
we'll talk about that in
sure.
a minute. But let's go on with this play because. We see them, these two guys fighting, but bonding, and we see the emotional shifts in that, and it just really keeps going. And I thought for it's not a short play, for a play that's goes for a couple of hours, over two and a half. Well, it's about 2.5 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the intermission, it certainly keeps you rolling.
Yeah, I love how every scene is this wonderful play. Of course, in a two-hander, this is the way it's got to be structured, but it's so wonderfully structured in this play, the way that we're constantly keeping each other off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the character who was on balance in the last scene is now the character who's off balance in the next scene. And there's even a couple wonderful dialogue-less scenes that of Vince's character, Professor Moshkin, alone in his studio, and we get to see sort of what happens when... You know, this character who can't stop talking almost doesn't have anyone to talk to.
Yeah, yes. Really. The lonely. And your journey. Although we don't ever learn totally what your secret is.
No, and again, that's...
clever writing because we've heard those stories.
Right. And he says that he doesn't need to repeat it because the words are so familiar. But of course... There's a scene in the show, and it's one of my favorite scenes, where he decides in the moment he is going to tell him the story, but the audience doesn't hear it.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was...
The audience does not hear it. It's just spoken to him, and that story was something I say the same each night. It's a story that I made myself and mouthed the words, and we never even shared it with the director.
Oh.
So it's... It's just between.
So
the audience knows what's going on there, but they don't hear the words. And also, what's wonderful about Sean is that when he comes, because he's a trained singer, in the beginning, he has to appear that he is not. So
yes.
That kudos to him because that was a difficult, I think, task to do to like start off as a non-singer when he's been a trained singer his whole life.
And yeah. Sean, how did you deal with that?
Well, I thought going into it that was going to be the hardest technical problem for me in the play, but in the end, for someone who's taken voice lessons for a long time and has sung for a long time, I've also, sort of unofficially taught people, and I kind of just used sounds that I heard come out of other people's mouths who weren't really singers.
Became an actor, and so you were an actor rather than a singer at that point.
Exactly,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of mimicry of other people that I've heard. Yeah, but I intentionally try. You know, at the beginning, they talk about how closed his throat is.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And he doesn't open his mouth, so I try to use that when I first sing Im Wunderschön in Lonette Mai, the first song in the cycle. And then by the time I get to the middle of the play, I've opened my throat, but I have no vibrato. And then I intentionally try in the middle of that song when he has this breakthrough that a little bit of vibrato starts to come in. And so, yes, that is like the very sort of actory technical thing for me that goes on every night.
And this man... He practiced every day. We came an hour to the theater early because he's not a pianist. He practiced.
But you guys did a terrific job. Yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
So, hats off to him.
Yes.
Good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to go a little bit further again without giving away because I think the story is extremely powerful. And if all the story was how music, we talk about the joy and the sadness, you have to experience both, those are the great musicians. and that related to me a lot. And I think this is the kind of show that young people need to see to realize that the arts and the great music makes a difference.
Well, absolutely. And this is a kudo to Chris, because Chris, our director, is very classically
trained. Chris Prentice.
Yes, Christopher Prentice. He's a classically trained actor. And when we first started, he said, "Vince, pull out your Shakespeare hat. You know, there's lots of comparisons here. There's opposites, and you know how Shakespeare uses that."
Sure.
And that really helped me find this character that this is what he's about. You know, he goes from sad to ecstatic, you know, to ecstatic joy. But really, they're not that far apart. And, you know, and that's it is great for children, because we start that way, and then we kind of learn to hold things and mold things and throw things away and not really express ourselves. And Mashkin's childlike in that way.
Yes, he is, yeah.
He's very childlike.
But you just know underneath, though, there's a sadness. There's
sure.
A story there, yeah.
Absolutely, there's a story. But he's very childlike in his passion. And what's the most powerful thing for me in the show is that the student comes and has a talent that I never had.
Yeah, and I could see you playing it as you're in awe of him, but you kind of don't want to let him know it.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And but it's also it's sad in a way that he said, you know, if I had those pipes, I would have had that kind of career, but I didn't wake up with this musical gift like he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet he needs something from me to get him fired up again. So, you know, that's the marvelous thing about the play, is that they each have things that the other one needs, and they each, you know, are willing to go down that journey, that path together.
Well, Sean, tell us what your preparation is.
My preparation.
For a show like this.
My preparation, on the day of the show, my preparation is very simple. I try to kind of disperse. I try to get everything out of my mind so that when I come on stage, one of my acting coaches in college always said, you always come on stage with what you have in your pockets. And all Stephen has in his pockets is a set of keys at that point in his bag of music. So, but my preparation for this role, sort of to begin with, you talked about what a wonderful play this is for young people to see. I saw this play 10 years ago, you know, when it was right off of Broadway and right off of being a Pulitzer Prize finalist. And my grandparents, who were classically trained musicians who met in New York being classical musicians, saw this play and insisted that I go see it.
Good.
And,
good for them.
I went by myself to see this play at Theater 3 in Dallas and was just blown away by it. Like, I connected so much to Stephen's character when I sat in that theater. And all I can hope when I come here, you know, is that people have that same experience that I had watching this play.
Well, the performance I saw, it came through.
Thank you.
Is this a role? Tell us how you got this role. Is this a role you wanted? Or?
Oh, this is a role that I desperately wanted.
Okay.
I have never lusted after a role this much in my life. Actually, Chris Prentice and I were roommates in college.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we both graduated from SMU. He, you know, us and several of the members of the House Theater all graduated together from Southern Methodist University around about 2000. And senior year of college, Chris and I actually tried to mount this at SMU, and we didn't quite get it off the ground. And so the last 10 years, we kind of check in on each other with it every once in a while. And this year, it finally happened. And, you know, Chris called me this spring and said, I think we're finally going to do it this year. Will you play Stephen? And I didn't even have to think about it. I would have given anything up to do this.
Great. That's
anything.
That's a good story. So this was a passionate play for both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Vince, I know you're a company member here at Signal Ensemble.
Right. And we had talked about it, for 3 years? I think three, right? 3 years we've been talking about it as the company.
All right.
And Chris always said he wanted to direct it, but Chris does play piano. And I said, well, Chris, you could do the role too. You know, we could do that. And he said, no, I've got the person for Stephen.
Also, since Sean is in town, I'm sure he wanted to,
Chris never wanted to play the role. I mean, he really wanted to direct it.
Good.
You know, so, it's been a passion of theirs longer than mine. But as soon as I read the play, I said, we have to do this at some point. We have to do this play. And this is a kind of a big year for Signal in terms of that, because we haven't done too much with music.
No, you haven't. And I was always kidding you guys about when you guys are going to do something with music.
Right. And so, you know, we took, this is a kind of our year to step our feet in a couple directions that way. So I think it was a good stepping stone for us to, you know,
all right,
take
give us
drama.
A commercial now when it's playing, where and when it's playing.
Okay. I want to make sure I get this right. We have performances on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays for the next
couple of weeks, right?
Through the 15th, right? Through the 15th of December. Those performances are all at 8 o'clock. Our Sunday performances are at 3, and we have one Monday night performance next.
That's would
December
be
2nd.
December 2nd, and that's the day this podcast comes out. So
okay.
And there's third. A Wednesday. Sorry, it's the third.
The third? Is it the third?
Yeah.
And then
Monday's
we have a Wednesday
third.
Performance.
On the 12th.
On the 12th.
Okay, the reason I want to
And those
say
are at 7:30.
Because everybody should come out and see it. This is one of those plays that should be packed every night. Because
like
not
that.
Only is it a terrific piece, and you guys are great in it, but it, as I said, it's an important play. Because it's about what theaters and music's about. It's about passion.
It's about passion.
Yeah.
And life.
And life, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The drama of life.
Okay, Vince, let's start since you have the mic. Okay. Let's talk about some of your background.
Oh, God.
We already realize that you are a vocal teacher, and
yes.
I've seen you in a million things
yes.
around town.
Yes, but this is a new direction for me lately,
okay.
Which I'm thankful to Signal for. I've done a lot of classical work.
Yes, you have.
And that's something that usually comes very easily to me. And a lot of my background is, you know, in Shakespeare and also in When She Stoops, those kinds of plays. Mother Courage I did with Violence
right.
Theater this
that was very
past
good, yeah.
year. And so a lot of different genres. But I have not done as much in the contemporary, you know.
Okay.
And so this was a really wonderful experience for me. And I wanted to, you know, hopefully be able to do more of that. But I think I figured it out just recently that this is my 206th show.
Is that right? 206.
You just figured
that
out.
Wow, yeah, that's terrific.
I've done 206 shows.
Terrific.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm still kicking. Still
well,
kicking.
This is one of the best things I've seen, you know, probably the best.
Thank you.
Because it's, you know, two-handers are difficult to do, and you either nail them or you don't, and you
well,
guys really did.
But there's something that's wonderful about doing something when you're there all the time. I mean, you don't have time to lag off. You don't have time to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And that took some discipline for me for, you know, for when we
well,
first started.
Well, you guys
have
a lot of scene changes, but you know, it helps. The music really helps.
Yeah.
It keeps the mood going, and yeah.
We do our own costume changes.
Yeah, because you guys are
changing costumes back
pretty fast, yeah,
and doing all of the you know, the moving of the props and the set stuff, and you don't have time to come out of the character.
Good.
And I've been in other plays where, you know, you have 30 minutes downtime or you're not back on for 20 minutes, and that's to me harder, really.
Yeah.
Because you've always got to get fired back up
that's
to that
true.
Level.
All right, Sean, you are one of the founding members of the House Theater, one of my favorite theater groups in
yeah,
Chicago. You guys have been doing pretty well lately.
We've been doing okay. Thank you. Yeah, I moved out here to Chicago in 2000 with Philip Klaprick and Nathan Allen and started the House Theater Chicago. And we've done 17 original works in the space of
how many have
seven
you written?
Years. I've written one.
Okay.
I wrote Hatfield and McCoy, which was the first show of our last season.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, that was strong. Yeah,
thank you. I got
nominated for Jeff's for that.
I did get nominated for best new play and original music. Yeah, and that was exciting. And then I'm writing this year the third play of this current season called The Attempters, and that opens March 5th.
What's that about? Give us a little short preview.
Well, you see, Tom, The Attempters is a heartwarming story about Danny Hackles, a 17-year-old boy who is convinced that he should become famous.
Oh, okay.
So it's
like every 17-year-old boy. Okay.
Exactly. It's the story of our modern times and our modern strivings to become famous.
Okay.
So it's
musical or typical house show with a little bit of everything? Or?
It's very much so.
Okay.
This is very much a sort of postmodern pastiche, if you will, of all of these different ways that this young man is trying to become famous. There's a movie in it, a 10-minute movie in the second act, directed by my roommate and good friend Lucas Marino, and we'll be shooting that in about a month.
Oh,
and
cool.
So, yeah, it's...
Got the shadow puppets and the music?
No shadow puppets, okay. But there are two rock bands.
Okay.
And,
two rock bands.
Two rock
okay.
bands. So, yeah, that's very exciting. The journey that I've been on the last 7 years has been great. And this doing this play is a wonderful culmination of that for me. It feels like a beginning and an end.
Well, it's one of your passions. So. You got to be able to live out one of your passions. That is so cool. Isn't that what the arts are about?
Man, Tom, you have no idea. It feels so good to do this play every night.
And it comes out in both of you. You guys exude the passion, whether it's you're mad at each other in a scene, or you're happy, or you're frustrated.
It's just fun to be on stage and to affect Vince. It's a lot of fun to you know, when we throw each other little curveballs, and it's just a lot of fun.
Especially when he's getting you early. Oh, he gets you good early. Yeah.
Yeah, he does get me pretty good.
He breaks your ego down
pretty hard. Yeah.
But then it gets serious. To about some very serious topics, national identity,
well,
the whole political
history of Central Europe.
Yeah,
I mean, this is very much about the clash of American and sort of that art, very classical and artistic European culture. It's very timely.
Yes,
you wrote it before, you know, Bush the Second.
Yeah,
very odd. It's like
but it is little, timely. Yeah,
a little prescient of the current situation of our foreign affairs, which is really exciting to me because I like a little bit of politicalness in my theater. So
yeah, and it's there, but it doesn't dominate. And there's you know, there's a little bit of a Holocaust thing, a little bit of the Jewish identity without overplaying or you're trying to do what's been done so many times. But when you tie it all together, I think it's one of the best plays of the year.
Well, thank you.
There's a reason, too, that Mashkin stays. I mean, we discussed this early in the play, that Germany and Austria are home to him, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And what people go through when a part of the population turns against them doesn't mean that you still don't have the love of Vienna. And of course, that I think that's what's beautiful about the play.
I can tell you firsthand.
He loves his city as much as anyone else.
I grew up with a couple of Jewish people from Vienna who were in the camps, camp survivors, and that's how they thought about it. So I could relate to your character.
Absolutely.
And they were older people when I was, you know, young. One had the big, you know, the tattoo on the arm and so forth.
Right. And that, you know, that really hit me. Because I had spent time over there and had actually...
Vienna is a great city, isn't it?
And had actually went to some of the concentration camps. So, I mean,
yeah, I did
for me
too.
It was firsthand knowledge, but I'd also been to Israel and seen the memorial. So, you know, for me, it really touched a personal note. But I thought, you know, isn't it tragic that not everybody that lived in Vienna reflected that philosophy. And it's their home as much, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why he couldn't leave it. And yet there's a sadness there with that.
Yeah.
There's a huge
sadness. And Sean, one of the things I like that you did is you played as the, you know, the American kid, and you hold back, which we won't give away, you hold back an identity thing for a while, too.
This play is definitely that dramatic onion of peeling back layers as you go, and unexpected layers, which is good.
But they weren't hokey, and you didn't trick the audience. You know, the writing is so smooth that we should have known. There was enough hints there.
Well, I've always thought that the best reveals are the ones that you figure out right before it happens.
Yeah,
And that's what I think this play pulls off just literarily, you know, even before it becomes a dramatic piece. So I'm a big fan of this play.
Yeah, I am too. And congratulations on being Jeff recommended.
Thank you.
And feedback I get, they're not allowed to talk about it, but I know them well enough. We get reactions. A lot of the committee has been impressed with the play,
good.
which is cool. And let's hope you guys get some nominations.
It'd be nice. To throw a spotlight on Signal Ensemble and all the wonderful work they've been doing.
All right, now let me, Vince. I'll ask you first.
Okay.
Where are you going to be 5 years from now? What haven't you conquered? What are your goals? What shows you'd want to be in?
Yeah.
So you get, I put you on the spot. I usually put the younger guy on the spot.
I did say that to somebody the other day. They said, okay, after this role, what else? And I said, I've done Lear, the Gloucester role.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I think I saw that.
And I said, I don't want to do Lear until I'm in my, you know, approaching 70.
Okay.
So that will be happening in 6 or 7 years. So that would be the penultimate role for me. I mean, you know, if I can accomplish that at that age, still remember it, I'd be there. But there is one other play that I have my eye on, too.
Which one?
And it's a Pinter play. And it's a character that I can identify with totally. It's called The Caretaker. And there's an older gentleman in that. And I fell in love with that play taking a class from the guy at Victory Garden, Dennis.
From Dennis Zajac. Yeah. Okay, sure.
And he said, you got to do this role someday. And I said, I want you to direct it. Dennis says, oh, I can't direct it unless it's here at Victory Garden. It has to be new stuff.
I'm sure Chris or
But I would love to do that play at some point. So, I mean, I have a couple. But then, you know, this came out of the blue, so you never know.
All right, Sean, what do you have on your...
What do I have on my docket?
Six years from now.
Tom, I have no idea. I play things by ear. I'm a big fan of like, I didn't know I was going to write Hatfield and McCoy until it just came out. I don't plan the roles that I play at the house. And, I mean, this is something that we've been working on for a long time, getting together. And that's why I think that, for me, it's an ending and a beginning. And I've...
How about starring in a play you wrote?
Never. I would never do it.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear
that. I would never do that. Yeah, I'm a firm believer of taking one major role in a production.
So if you're the director or the playwright, okay.
Yeah, or the main actor,
So you guys are both so ensemble oriented. Yeah. You realize, I mean, that's one of the things I respect to the house so much is you guys all get involved, don't you?
Yeah.
I interviewed Nathan, that's what he was telling me and Dennis that
it's a wonderful sense of ensemble here at Signal Ensemble and at the house of just everybody pitches in. Everybody's got a role. Everybody, Vince likes to clean, which thank God, and I'm over at the house. I'm the director of New Works Development as well as an actor and a playwright. And, you know, everyone plays a part and everyone loves playing the parts that they play outside of being on stage and in the rehearsal room.
So, now, if I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and say, what are you? Are you an actor, a musician, a playwright, a director?
Oh, never director.
Okay.
I do not have the director itch.
Okay.
I can tell you that. Which probably means I'll end up directing, right? Is that what
usually
happens?
No,
I don't have the directing itch, but I really do play it by ear. Like one project at a time, whatever.
So you're all of those?
Yes.
Okay. And Vince, I mean, besides being the vocal teacher... Yeah. Obviously, I would call you a character actor.
Yep.
Would you be complimented by that? Because I think that's a compliment.
I think it is, too. I have no problem with that, actually. But I, you know, have never had the director itch either. And I'm always admired in Signal, my cohorts, because they're able to do both.
Yes.
But I think because I teach as a living and I deal with that kind of guidance all day, that really, when I come to the theater, I want to be guided.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's...
I can see that,
it's a little different for me than it is for some people. And I'm okay with that.
Good.
I'm definitely okay with that.
Well, gentlemen, this has been a great interview. I hope our audiences come out to see the old Wicked Songs. It is a tremendous play. And thank you guys very much. And folks, go see a play this week.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of December 3rd, 2007. Hey, Chicago. We benefit from living in one of the nation's largest theater markets. However, with hundreds of theaters in the Chicago area, it is easy to overlook some of the smaller venues and storefront theaters located around the city, even those that may be right in your own neighborhood. Well, to help you discover some of those hidden Chicago theater gems, TheaterInChicago.com has launched an interactive theater map that displays theater venues along with their productions that are currently playing or coming soon. Go to the Theater Map link on the left side of the site and explore through hundreds of theater venues. In case you want to eat, click the Display Restaurants checkbox and find a restaurant close to the theater you're going to that night. The map is also very, very easy to navigate since it is powered by Google. In fact, it's a Google Maps mashup. With the new theater map, theaterinchicago.com is the best one-place stop to find out all the happenings on stages in the Chicago area. We make finding great plays easy by providing you with the tools you need to plan a great evening. So click on over and check out theaterinchicago.com's new theater map. Broadway in Chicago has announced the national tour of Jesus Christ Superstar, the groundbreaking theatrical masterpiece by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. It is coming to Chicago for a limited one-week engagement at the Cadillac Palace Theater starting on February 19th. One of the first collaborations between Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, Jesus Christ Superstar is one of the most popular and enduring works ever created for the live stage. After exploding onto the Broadway scene back in 1971, Superstar changed the face of musical theater forever. Well, now it's time to introduce a timeless musical classic to a new generation of theatergoers. For more information on Jesus Christ Superstar at the Cadillac Palace Theater, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Coming Soon section. Northlight Theater continues its 33rd season with the Midwest premiere of Ella, and continuing the celebration of artistic director B.J. Jones's 10th anniversary season. Ella will run from November 28th through January 6th at the Northlight Theater in Skokie. Northlight has a long-standing tradition of producing musicals about the American experience. In Ella, Ella Fitzgerald, the First Lady of Song, rehearses for an upcoming concert. You can hear many of her classics, including That Old Black Magic and They Can't Take That Away From Me. The show stars Chicago legend E. Faye Butler, who brings to life the story of this American legend. Tickets for Ella are currently available. For your chance to get them, click on over online to northlight.org. Again, that's northlight.org. Or you can click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Coming Soon section. Cirque Dreams is partnering with Jam Theatricals in the Ultimate Costume Contest. Aspiring designers can see their costume sketches come to life on stage by the artists of Cirque Productions. Anyone wishing to submit a sketch of their own jungle theme costume idea can do so. If chosen, the costume design team at Cirque Dreams Studios will make the costume become a reality and debut it at the opening performance of Cirque Dreams Jungle Fantasy. The show starts at the Chicago Theater on December 26th and combines imaginative theatrics with world-class acrobatics. If you are the winner, then you will be the fashion toast of Chicago. For more information and where to submit your costume designs by December 14th, send an email over to costumes@circproductions.com. Again, that's costumes@circproductions.com. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before I let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from King John, Act 3, Scene 3. My blessings go with thee. So, wow, another week done, and another week closer to the end of the year. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready just for you. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago. I'm your host, Dustin Moat. For listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Vincent Lonergan and Sean Fouch for giving us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. You see, without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.